Hi, I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George Whittam in the West.
And together we are East-West Audio Body Shop. Well, as we cruise into March, we're not going to be on March 2nd, so you get a week off, but you can watch any episode you want. But on March 9th, you do not want to miss our show. We're going to have our first annual International Voiceover Roundtable. It's going to be on at a different time, too. It's going to be on at 12 Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 8 p.m. GMT time for those guys and over across the pond. But we're going to have some great guests from all over the world joining us for an early version of EWAPS. Who's going to be on?
Well, we're going to have Jonathan Tilley from Germany.
Rebecca Michaels from Italy.
Debbie Barnes in England.
Ramesh Matani will be joining us from the Canary Islands.
And Susanna Kenson in New Zealand.
And maybe a few other surprises. So don't miss our first annual International Roundtable on East-West Audio Body Shop, which will be again.
He's the home voiceover studio engineer to the stars in Los Angeles, California. A Virginia Tech grad whose knowledge of the latest recording gear is second to none.
He's a voice actor and a home studio master hailing from Buffalo, New York. His home studio skills and knowledge of voiceover recording is unmatched.
When Dan and George talk shop, people listen. And the talk continues tonight.
Welcome to East-West Audio Body Shop.
East-West Audio Body Shop is brought to you by
Edge Studio, providers of voiceover education, production, and technology.
Harlan Hogan's Voiceover Essentials, products hand-picked for voice actors.
VoiceZam, a total unreal demo player for voiceover professionals.
The Home Studio Master, get a handle on your professional voiceover studio.
And VoiceOver Extra, your one-stop resource for voiceover success.
And now, live from his high-tech facility in Santa Monica
and his penthouse studio in Buffalo,
here are George Whittam
and Dan Leonard.
Good afternoon, or good evening, or good morning, depending on where on this planet you are, because we are worldwide this afternoon on East-West Audio Body Shop. I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George Whittam in the West.
And we already said we're both East-West Audio Body Shop. So, I think we got that one down by now.
Yeah.
This is episode 180, folks. Can you believe that? We are rapidly cruising in on our fourth anniversary of doing this show, and we can hardly believe it.
I know.
And neither can our wives, but that's a whole other story.
I know. Much to their chagrin, we still do this show.
We still do this show, but wait till I get out to California, and then we're going to have a lots
whole
more fun.
New ball game. It's going to be a blast.
It's going to be fabulous. Anyway, but we're going to have a blast today, and we want to get right into it because we like to do the roundtables every now and again with different experts in different areas of voiceover. Who would have thought that there are so many different facets to voiceover that so many people would know so many different things? But we wanted to do something really unique today, and plus, we have a lot of fans across the pond. Well, across both ponds, going both ways. And they're like, we want to watch the show. We want to watch the show live. So we're like, well, why don't we do a morning show? Or why don't we just change the time? And then we said, well, why don't we just get some people from all over the world on and get them to have all their friends watch? And then we will have a worldwide show. So that's what we're doing today. This is our first international roundtable. And we have people from all four corners of the globe. So let me go around the horn today and introduce our guests. And they can say hello, and then we can get into the heart of the matter. First, we'll start with joining us from the United Kingdom, Debbie Barnes.
Happy to be here. Thanks a lot for inviting me.
It's a pleasure to have you. A guy who we've wanted to have on this show, who we've wanted to meet for so many years because he's been a big fan of our show. But now we finally get the chance to meet him. Joining us from, of all places, the Canary Islands. Yes, there actually are people on the Canary Islands. Ramesh Matani. Ramesh, a pleasure.
Greetings, Dan. It is a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for having me on today.
A pleasure to have you. Then, if you like shot an arrow through the earth all the way to the other side, down into the southern hemisphere, you would hit New Zealand. And joining us from New Zealand, one of my favorite people in New Zealand, is Susanna Kenton. Susanna, welcome.
So flattered, Dan, by that. Thank you. You're one of my favorite people. Well, I kind of guess, yeah.
Yeah. Bigger place, yeah. But anyway, great to have you on. And you have a really unique perspective on the voiceover industry. And then somebody else who is joining us from Germany, who's been on the show before. We talked to you last summer when you were in Anaheim. Jonathan Tilly joining us from Germany.
Hey, hey, it is such an honor to be here and to be part of the show this time. Thank you so much.
A pleasure to have you on. Now, what town are you in Germany?
I'm in Stuttgart, Germany. So that's about an hour west of Munich. So southern Germany.
Ah, right. Yes. Home of the Porsche.
I was going to say there's, you know, BMWs, yeah, and Porsches and all them.
Mercedes.
Well, yeah. BMW is actually in Munich. So with Porsche and Mercedes-Benz being in Stuttgart, there's a bit of a rivalry, but it's the same thing.
That's right. All right. And then the guys down in Milan, they're like, yeah, it's the heck with the guys up north there. Exactly. Anyway. All right. So why don't we get the show on the road here with our, we've done our introductions and we have this wonderful worldwide panel of international voice actors. Why don't we just start off with everybody. Tell us, you know, the Reader's Digest version of, you know, now first I must say we have three Americans here and one person who is Ramesh. You still haven't exactly told me what your actual, what your actual nationality is. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and how it is that you are doing voiceover in the Canary Islands?
Okay, well, thank you for letting me start, Dan. Well, let me say one thing, Dan.
Yes.
One of my greatest sources of inspiration, and I say this with my hand in my heart, wherever it is yourself. You are a tremendous, tremendous source of inspiration for me. Anyway, so let's just go back for a second. How I ended up in the Canary Islands? Well, my family is originally from India. And although I was telling you earlier on that I was born in Karachi, Pakistan, we moved over here about 40-odd years ago. And I grew up in the Canary Islands for the first, 10 years of my life. But my parents came here to retire. So they wanted me to have an English education. And they said, no, this boy has to have, you know, the Queen's English. So there was very poor Queen's English in the Canary. So I went to an American school. And from there, I went to, you know, England for boarding school and did my O-levels and my A-levels. So I've had an education in English pretty much all my life. And then I went to America for university. And I suppose having this sort of multitude of languages sort of rolling around in my head, because I was also speaking Spanish, not to mention Hindi and Sindhi. I suppose I had a penchant for speaking and putting on different accents, and I've always enjoyed it from a very young age. But of course I followed this typical Indian sort of study business, and I went to Penn and Wharton and did all that sort of stuff and worked on Wall Street for a year. But, I've always had a real love for speaking and making myself heard. And of course, it helps. People say, hey, you've got a great voice. You know, have you been on the radio and whatever? So I started off doing a bit of radio work for Pepperdine. I forget the local university radio station back then. But anyway, so I've always been involved in speaking and do a lot of public speaking. And about 5 years ago, thanks to a friend of mine, I said, you know, Ramesh, you take this personally. And, you know, you can do it and you have a home studio. And I watched your videos and I chatted with you and you really inspired me, you know, and I thought there are all these altruistic people out there, many of them in America, people like yourself, who were just happy to help other people get on the bandwagon, help them get set up and give them tricks and tips on how to get their studios and improve their setups and get a better mic and, you know, get a good preamp and, you know, a lot of gear is necessarily good. And, you know, all those sort of tips, which, and I suppose plus my business undergraduate and training helped me sort of, you know, put the two things together. And I'm very happy with the voiceover career that I've established. And when Debbie was saying before that she's young, well, I'm not much older than you, Debbie, in the voiceover field, but I think these last 5 years, it's grown exponentially. I mean, there's so much work out there. And I've heard different people, you know, say the quantity of audio work, which is available. And I think you've really got to be either lazy or missing the point to say that you haven't got work. I'm also doubly blessed because I've got the Spanish and the English. And as you probably know, Spanish people don't speak any English, which is very good because they tell me, hey, yo quiero esto, yo quiero que lo digas así, lo digas así. And they tell me, give me all the direction in Spanish. And I voice it in English for them, you know, and that's great because they can't communicate in anything but Spanish. So I've got the English work that I do for Spanish companies and the Spanish work that I do for English speaking people. So, you know, I've got that sort of multi-pronged approach, so to speak, which has been very helpful. But it's grown and I'm happily making a 5-digit figure and, you know, an income per year and it's growing all the time. So I'm really, really pleased.
Hmm. Well, that's actually fascinating. And I'm glad things are working out for you. Debbie Barnes, now you're not originally from the UK. You're from my neck of the woods. You're from Rochester or central New York or, you know, the Montezuma, you know, wildlife refuge.
Yeah. I'm from a small town in upstate New York near Syracuse. That small town being Chittenango, New York, famous for the Chittenango Falls and the Chittenango Snail. Oh, well. Anyway, but I grew up studying music and theater and went to university for it as well. You know, Oswego State University, you've heard of that.
My son goes to Oswego.
Yes. Oh,
he was just there the other day.
Wonderful, wonderful state university. And married, had children, and then we got an expat opportunity, and we moved to England. And that was very, very exciting. It's interesting. I grew up doing music and theater, but started my professional life as an American Sign Language interpreter for the deaf. Spent quite a few years doing that, and then jumped into the CCM, Christian Contemporary Music industry. And I actually did that over here in the UK and had some success in it. But felt I was wilting after a while, 3 to 5 years, really wondered what I should do next and how I should switch gears. And after singing a wedding in Nashville on the way home to New York with my mother in the car, listening to a thriller, a murder, and a romance, three audiobooks, it made me realize that I studied voiceover at university. And I do regret that I didn't do it then because now I would be a seasoned pro. Never mind. Well, we hope I would be. So I decided to research it stateside. And when I got home in the UK, I also spent an entire summer reading everything I could get my hands on about the industry, poking and probing anyone who knew anything about it. And then I hooked up with Gary Terza of VO Masterclass in London. And he was my first introduction to the voiceover industry. And I worked with him a bit. He sent me home with a lot of homework. And really, the rest is history. I've been moving as fast as I can going forward and doing what I know is going to work. And it's, I thank God I'm involved in an industry that's so generous and so gracious, you know, with so many, with imparting wisdom and knowledge about everything across the board from tech stuff to marketing. But yeah, I got my start here in England, really through Gary Terza, who I'm very grateful for. He's also a wonderful mentor as well.
Wonderful. It's great to hear how people just how they find their way into voiceover and stuff like that. Now, Susanna Kenton, now you are and were an actress, because I remember we've talked about this before. Did you do stuff on Broadway and traveling tour companies and stuff?
In your imagination, yes.
I wish.
Broadway, but certainly traveling, touring stuff. Yeah, I actually started my voice career in Paris. I used to live, but like you, Ramesh, was living in a country where I was speaking two languages and doing plays and stuff in French and doing a bit of dubbing of films and things. And after living there for 7 years, which I loved, I moved to Los Angeles. And there I continued acting and with voiceover on the side. And about 10 years ago, I moved here to New Zealand, and then the voice acting became kind of more my focus, and I do a little bit of acting here and there on the side. But I just, yeah, I want to echo what Ramesh and Debbie have said, because I think we all just have this feeling in our hearts of how blessed we are to do this for a living. And, you know, I love that you're opening up the show to sort of discuss for people, is it really possible to earn your living, you know, near the South Pole or whatever, you know, anywhere on the planet. And I think it's extraordinary. I think today we really start to be able to do this. And, you know, the beauty of it for me is that I have you, Dan, and I have George. And when I was setting up my voice booth here, built a five-sided structure, was very proud of it, double-walled glass with like sloping glass and everything. And George took one listen of it. And he was like, oh, you need to thicken up your acoustic material there because you've got this going on. I had no clue. But it's amazing to me that somebody sitting in California can just say, oh, I know what your problem is. You've got, you know, your thickness of your material is like this and it needs to be like this. So isn't it amazing? You know, and I could even like show him pictures or, you know, take my camera or my laptop in and say, yeah, this is what I've got going on. And he said, oh, okay. Just almost like he's right there. So yeah, pretty lucky. Yeah.
Fun. I love doing that. It's such a blast.
Yeah, we you know, it's fascinating when you hear something for the first time. You hear somebody else's studio, and you know, of course, you're used to the sound in your own studio, and you know what it sounds like to you. But we don't live with you, as much as it would be wonderful to be down in New Zealand. But to hear a studio and realize that we're hearing things that our brains haven't heard before, because there are certain sounds in your house that are, you know, your brain is probably tuned out and you don't hear them. You put it on your hard drive and send us the file. We're going to hear that kind of stuff. So that's great. Jonathan Tilley, you are one sophisticated, interesting guy.
Wow, thank you so much.
The mere fact that you're in Germany via lots of other places, tell us a little bit about how you ended up in Germany, because you are clearly not from Germany.
No, I'm not from Germany at all. But I didn't even expect to be over here. It was really weird. I was I graduated from college in Ithaca College and moved to New York City and thought I'd be on Broadway by the end of the week and having lunch with film producers, you know, and that wasn't the case. And so you know, trudge through, you know, pounding the pavement on New York, and a lot of friends went to this one audition of 42nd Street that was going through Germany for 6 months. And we said, hey, let's just get out of the city for 6 months and just see, just like have a paid vacation, you know, tap dance through Germany. And one thing led to another, and all the auditions that they were offering in Germany were open auditions. And back then, that was 99. There was the standard of the musical theater scene was very low compared to, you know, Broadway. And so all the Broadway shows that were being produced on Broadway or in the West End in London would be premiering 6 months to 1 year after the New York or the London premiere. So I would be getting into the final rounds of these auditions that I would in Germany that I never would get a first round of a call in New York City. So I thought, hey, there's something to this. So I just kept booking work over in Germany. And I worked 8 years straight as a musical theater performer in productions of like A Chorus Line, Cats, Mamma Mia, 42nd Street. Again, I did another production. And so you do the show at night, so you have the whole day free. And they had on the call board, you know, we're looking for native speakers. And I was like, what's native speakers? And they're like, oh, you know, like voiceover. And I go, you know, okay. And I gave him a call. I said, yeah, I'll stop by. You know, what do you need me for? I'm in Germany, you know. And they recorded a children's book for German kids on how to learn English, like see Jane cross the street, watch John run a mile, you know. And then 3 months later, they called me back in, and then 3 months turned to 2 months, then 1 month, it was just one studio. So it just sort of slowly built from there. And I really didn't take it seriously. And that was in 2002 until it really started to roll in. And I just thought, geez, you know, why would the German market need an American voice? It's like, well, because they produce things that are on an international level. So that's sort of been my thing, just like with you, Ramesh, you know, and Susanna, where you speak the language and you get directed in German. I get directed in German. I speak in German and I, you know, communicate back to them, but then I do the job in English. So I do like English dubbing for all the image films and corporate narrations for all the big German industrial companies.
Of which there are many.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, big companies. Well, it's great to have all of you on here today. We got a lot that we can talk about, and we'll be getting to that in just a minute. But right now, we first have to talk about somebody who I think we've all heard of, and that's Harlan Hogan, who has great stuff over at voiceoveressentials.com. Go over there if you need some voiceover gear, because he's got the best stuff there is, and it's easy to get. I mean, if I just reach over here and just pick this thing up that's just happens to be lying over here. This is the Portabooth Plus here. Comes in a fabulous carrying case with a zippered pocket. You can actually see you can keep an entire XLR cable in there. I can keep an interface. My 416 fits right into here. All you have to do is pack it up and it goes right into the luggage rack on the plane, or you check it through. You can actually see the last luggage rack I had on there, luggage tag I had on this. You know, so if we can scan this, this thing will, you know, end up in back in Buffalo where it belongs. But it was great to have something like that in my last trip because I needed it. You know, if I'm staying at my mother's, there's a great closet there, but it's, you know, a regular like sliding closet. I always get out my Harlan Hogan Portabooth Plus and my Sennheiser 416, and I set it up in there, and my clients go, gee, that's amazing. So how are you able to do that and not be home? I'm like, it's magic. It's my Harlan Hogan Portabooth Plus or the Portabooth Pro. Great stuff. If you need something to help you when you're on the road or something that is just something a little bit going to help out your business a little bit technically, he's got the microphones. He's got the Harlan Hogan Signature Series headphones, which I talk about all the time. And you ask, why am I not wearing them? Because I like these. These are comfortable for doing a talk show. When I'm doing voiceover, I use those. It's like having a different microphone, but they're great headphones for doing voiceover with. And all you have to do is go over to voiceoveressentials.com. George has it on the screen there for you. And if you want to let them know that you heard it here on our website, which you are probably watching the show on right now, go down to the bottom left-hand corner and you will see that picture of the amazingly handsome Harlan Hogan talking into his Portabooth Pro. And if you click on that, it will take you right over to voiceoveressentials.com. So go there and spend your money there and tell them we told you to go there and spend your money. And that's all for Harlan Hogan this week. Thanks, Harlan. 180 episodes strong being our sponsor.
That's right. Original sponsor and stuck through all these years. Thanks so much, Harlan.
Now that's loyalty.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be right back right after this.
Are you confused about how to set up and maintain a professional quality voiceover studio? No wonder. The information out there is mostly mythology. This is the best microphone to use. You have to have a preamp. You need a soundproof booth. This software is the best. Your audio must be broadcast quality. Consult with someone who knows the truth. Someone who's been there, in the trenches, doing voiceover for over 30 years. Someone with unparalleled experience with voiceover studios. Who's worked with hundreds of voice actors and designed hundreds of personal studios. He knows how to teach and cares about your success. In one of the harshest environments known to voiceover, your home. Dan Leonard, the Home Studio Master. Separate myth from fact and get a handle on your personal voiceover studio. Contact the Home Studio Master at homevoiceoverstudio.com. Drop off a specimen of your dry audio for a free analysis.
And now back to the only webcast done with two cans, two geeks, and a string. East West Audio Body Shop. With George Winham on his end in the West and Dan Leonard in the East.
All righty, we're back. Our first ever International Roundtable. And we've got a great crowd of people joining us from all over the world, you know, on the show and watching the show from all over the world. That's why we did it a little bit earlier this week. In case you're wondering, you get an email saying, they're on at 3? What's going on here? Or you're on at noon? Oh, I can eat my lunch and watch eWebs. Because I know we have friends in New Zealand and in Australia that say they watch the show live while they're eating lunch, which is just like boggles my mind.
It's so cool.
Anyway, see, now my phone's ringing. It never, 180 episodes, the phone never rings in here.
But they also don't expect us to be doing a show right now.
That's right. It is 3 o'clock. Okay. Or 3:30 anyway. Right. Anyway, our guests, Debbie Barnes, Ramesh Mitani, Jonathan Tilley, and Susanna Kenton, joining us from all points across this wonderful God's green earth that we live on. Well, let's go one at a time here and ask really what is different about working outside of North America, because obviously all of you are familiar with North America. You're either born here or U.S. citizens and stuff like that. What's the biggest challenge that you have as working in a different marketplace than the lower 48? Start with Debbie. What about you?
Well, I don't suffer a language barrier, obviously, but I was naive in thinking that there would be a great deal of work for me here. And what I mean by that is I thought, gee, I'm a novelty, an American living in the UK. They're going to want my services, surely. They're going to want a North American accent. Wow, I'm going to have work lined up for me. Exciting. No. Because one of the things I've had to come to terms with is the majority of the work in this country goes to those close upper talents who live here and who have a British accent. I regret that I didn't develop much more of, well, a real UK accent. It's not even something that happened organically for me. A little bit here and there, but you have to be able to sustain it as well. Probably the biggest challenge for me here would be self-promotion, because that's what marketing requires. And I have to force myself to make it a priority. I think everyone does. And I have to designate specific time for marketing purposes. I stand convinced that marketing is all about starting conversations that grow into relationships. So it's all about relationship building. But one of the things that I use to try to, you know, help in terms of marketing is e-marketing. And that has really worked very well for me. I've got to really press myself to cold call. There's part of me that thinks cold calling is dead because it can be so threatening and people are so down on it. But it's still viable. It's still a viable option. And it's still something I need to do much more of. I'm also an unabashed Google gal, so I Google everything you can imagine to feel out potential contacts that way. So I tap into companies through web searches. And I also use upbeat and friendly cover letters. Any non-threatening way I can, you know, try to tap into a potential client, I will. Right. I prospect through media, social media as well.
Yeah. Are you primarily working with British companies, or are you really looking at American companies and just in doing the American work?
Great question. Though I'm based here, I really don't do any work for British companies unless I'm called to the studio through Soho Voices or a non-exclusive, one of the non-exclusive agents that I'm with. But I do, most of my work is really international work, and I do a lot for American companies as well. Great question.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. And that's how I roll. And but it is very the marketing aspect for me is very difficult here, because I just assumed there was going to be so much work, and you have to go out and find that work. And that's what I that's what I'm all about, day in and day out, sun up till sun down.
Jonathan, what about you? Now you're crossing a lot of lines there as you were telling us. What's the biggest challenge that you encounter is not, you know, being an American in Germany and doing voice work?
Yeah, that's it's funny that you asked that, because it's perfect timing. Last week I was in a session, and there were three people from the agency, two people that were from the actual client, one sound designer in the room, and there's just too many cooks in the kitchen, micromanaging absolutely everything. And I think we've all been in one of those situations, you know, and you go into it, you're like, okay, here we go, you know, let's make the best of it. And everybody wants the same thing. Everybody wants it to be brilliant. And everybody, there's just so much passion behind it. But most normal people don't have the best way of putting their needs and wants into a formulated feel that will entice and persuade the voice actor to deliver what they want.
is that a cultural thing there in Germany?
I think that's just general. But then we add the cultural thing on top of it, which is being German, which is being extremely direct, extremely analytical, and I don't want to say negative, but just always focusing on what you can do better. So here's a perfect example. Here's a direction from an American. Great. Okay. That was a good take. Great. So you know what you did? I'd like you to just change it a bit and maybe go in this direction, you know, if that's okay with you. You know, in Germany, it's, well, the second sentence was bad. And we need more passion behind it, which wasn't there. Now, and it's, they just like tear you down sentence for sentence, but with like everybody in the room and then everybody discussing, you know, how they think it should be done, you know. So it really just takes the ability just to breathe through it and just be like, this is just totally cultural. They don't mean to be harsh. It's just, it's coming from a place of we want the best, but it's not sugarcoated, you know. And I have a pretty tough skin, but last week it was just like, come on, guys, am I doing anything right? They're like, oh yeah, you're doing great, but it's missing the passion. You're like, you know. So for me, that's the biggest challenge of just being like, it's not personal, it's just cultural. You know, and to not be brought down by it, just to actually use that feedback as a way of saying, all right, let's bring your A game, Tilly, and let's make them go, hey, not bad. Because when a German person says not bad, that's the equivalent of Americans saying awesome.
They're saying in Switzerland, it's the same thing. Switzerland has a lot of the same. Someone that does work for Switzerland says, yeah, I totally get it. Same deal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I don't take it personally anymore. I've been over here for 15, 16 years. If somebody's like, it's okay, you go, okay, good, thanks.
You take a compliment in any form that it comes.
Exactly.
Yeah, it'll work. It'll work. Thank you.
Interesting. Susanna, what about you? Because you're... I mean, Ramesh is in an isolated place, and we'll get to that. But you're not even, you're way off the mainland. I mean, most people don't even know where New Zealand is, although right. They should, because it's a gorgeous place. But
most people think, most North Americans think it's part of Australia.
Don't ever tell a Kiwi that.
I can so relate, Jonathan, to what you were saying as well. I had to do, and those different cultural things, I had to do a six-person session by ISDN the other day with six people taking, but through the cans, you know, so you don't know like which male voice is the client, which is which, whatever, crazy, crazy stuff. I suppose, Dan, for me, the biggest challenge is the time zone thing, you know, because I'm really on the other end of the world, especially to my European clients. And so I'll end up recording very early in the morning and having to like warm up my voice and sound like I'm wide awake at sort of 5 a.m. or something. I did a session the other night with a couple of Italian clients, and they were adorable because I had to keep pushing it later and later and later until it was 10:45 p.m. their time. And they were happy as could be. There were two of them. I think they were probably drunk, smoking their cigarettes, correcting me. It was the most fun thing. And at the end, they were like, yeah, now we go to the beach. That was fantastic. You know, just in German. They're like, everything I did was just, you know, fantastic. Funnily enough, Debbie, like you, I don't do much work for this country at all. Very, very little. Most of my clients are overseas. But one of the things I like to say is that I can, in terms of meeting deadlines, I can meet people's deadlines yesterday because, of course, it's tomorrow for me here. So it can actually work to my advantage oftentimes. Like I'll record something for a client while they're asleep and they have it first thing in the morning when they go into their office. So you can turn everything around. The other thing I love is that as I've been a citizen of the world, and I think you guys can all relate to this, my accent has kind of drifted. So I grew up in England and had a British accent, but as you hear it now, it doesn't really sound that British anymore. And what's lovely for me in this industry is that who and what we are, it's very forgiving because I've actually had many clients who hire me because I have what they consider a neutral sounding accent. So it's kind of this mid-Atlantic thing where it's not shockingly British, not too English sounding, but at the same time, it's not completely American. So it's more appealing for an international audience. That might be something, Debbie, that you would consider, is just to take your accent a little bit more in the direction of the British and, you know, call yourself a mid-Atlantic accent.
Yeah. To me, it's just classy.
Oh,
yeah. It is very classy.
Yeah.
Well, all right.
It's actually quite versatile and probably helps you out a lot. Ramesh,
not so classy when I get the porn jobs, Dan, to be honest.
I haven't heard about that. Can we hear a little bit more about that, please?
Yeah. Actually,
let's have a look at those, Greg.
Before I built my studio here, I worked out of this really cute community radio station in Christchurch, New Zealand. And when I do liners for them and they'd let me have studio time, and there was a job that came through that was that was some sort of TV station that sold kind of soft porn type stuff. And I started to do a little bit of work for them. And it was kind of like one of those things, Jonathan, you were saying earlier, where you're like, yeah, I can kind of do this. Okay. And one day it got so overtly, ridiculously bad. I won't even repeat it. It was two words that the last part of them was ucking. And I'm in this like sweet community radio station and I'm like, I cannot do this. It's 9 a.m. in the morning and there's all these like, you know, Samoan people passing by to do their show and this really love spirit and everything. I was like, no, this has to stop. So luckily that source dried up.
Boy, I've been waiting all week to hear that story. Ramesh.
Yes.
You're about as isolated as you can be out in the middle of the, well, it's not the middle of the Atlantic, but it's out there. What's the infrastructure like out there? And, you know, for one, for living, and two, for doing voiceover.
Well, it's not a place to live because really, infrastructurally, we're very much part of Europe, although we're off the northwest coast of Africa, off the coast of Mauritania. I mean, there are things which are tricky. I mean, I can't get an ISDN line to save my life. And I've investigated and researched, and they're like, what ISDN? Well, that's no longer available. And I know I'm missing out a lot of work because, you know, many people say, oh, you have to have ISDN. I've got Source Connect. No, ISDN. So there's certain drawbacks, but I think I've really fought very, very hard. I face many challenges over here because, I mean, I don't have a background. I didn't study journalism. So in the local sort of voiceover market, they see me as an intruder. And, you know, it's very strange because I've tried to share, as I was telling you earlier on, Dan, you know, people like yourselves and YouTube and the American voiceovers are so keen to help. And I'm very keen to share my little expertise, whatever little I know, with other people. And yet the local voiceovers here are so possessive. You know, they think, you're immediately going to steal their clients. And, you know, as well as anybody, you know, your client is your client, your voice is your voice. And, you know, I can't sneak into your client and say, pretend I'm you. I mean, you know, they hire you for your voice. But breaking into the local market was tough. And that's why I didn't do any marketing for Spain until very recently when I started getting more jobs here. And a bit like Susanna was saying before, and Debbie, the whole accent thing, you know, I'm not a British voiceover because I'm not British, first of all. And I thought I'd sort of be a UK voice, and I don't get the UK voice jobs. And now I've stopped sort of trying because I like you said, Susanna, I'm international. I mean, I've got an international accent. So I market myself as a transatlantic, international English, neutral English, and there's a huge market for it. So, you know, I'm not going to waste my time trying to be the British voice because, for God's sake, I'm not. You know, I listen to myself and I think, oh, you sounded a bit Indian there. Or was it American? And people say, are you American? And I'm not American, but your name sounds Indian. I'm like, oh, I don't know where the hell I'm from. And so, you know, I stopped trying, and it's opened up many. I mean, I do work for companies that perhaps market their product to the greater world at large, perhaps the Far East or the Middle East, and they want an sort of undiscernible accent, which has helped me really well. And in Spanish, the same thing. I mean, I can do a, you know, phenomenal Castilian Spanish, and I can also do the Canary Island version. So it's helped me. But it's not been that difficult not being in America, except for gear, because of the internet. You know, I mean, it's made the world such a small place. And not to go into great detail about this sort of area of voice work, which is very, very controversial. But the pay-to-play sites have been of tremendous worth to me. I mean, I've been able to catapult my voiceover career, and I'm part of many of these Facebook sites with British voiceover. And they're all like, oh, the voices.com, voice is ridiculous. And, you know, they've really demeaned the industry. Yes, 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 they have. But at the same time, I mean, some of my best clients have, you know, paid me thousands in repeat work thanks to voices.com and Voice123 and just aggressive marketing, you know. And I'm happy to pick up the phone and I call people across the world and hi, I'm Ramesh, you know, and are you accepting demos? And I'm a voiceover artist. And yes, and they put the phone down or they don't have the time. But, you know, it's fantastic the way it works.
Yeah. I think that probably, you know, in your case and anybody else who's working in, you know, in a foreign country, or even if it's, you know, your native country, if you bring something unique to the table, that's really the thing, especially on the pay to plays. If you're going to come across as something totally unique, that's going to stand out to anybody that's looking for a voice. So that's yeah. Why they have worked so well for you. And that's really cool. And of course, to anybody who's like, you know, your typical North American, again, that's, you know, we've had so many people on the show talking about this. What is it that you uniquely bring to the table when they hit your demo? What is it that grabs them in the first 5 seconds is going to be different? With anybody who's got a little bit of an accent, it's going to work for, it's definitely going to work in your favor.
So, yeah. One thing I've realized, and I think it's a lesson, Debbie, perhaps for people like ourselves. I think you've really got to stop trying. The day I stopped trying to be the standard British voiceover artist is when I started getting the jobs, because it's the typical thing. You know, we're great at talking. You know, what we're doing right now, we're talking, we're natural. You come across your Neumann mic and it's, you know, it's, you become the voice, and you don't want that. The clients don't want that. And it comes through like a ton of bricks. And I stopped trying and I said, well, this is my voice. And of course, you know, maybe 80% of my clients who listened to my auditions didn't want that because they wanted a British voice or they wanted an American voice or whatever. But those 20% say, hey, this guy actually, there's something interesting about him and we'll go for that. So you've just got to be yourself, I think. And that's something I heard from the very beginning, but it was one of those great, you know, massive truths, like, you know, I don't know, the world is round. And you think, oh, well, what is it like being yourself? But once you really understand the simplicity of being yourself and building a little business around that, people get to really appreciate and rely on that and value it.
Absolutely. It's fascinating hearing all these perspectives. Anybody else have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I just want to pipe in with that. I mean, I can only say yes, yes, yes. The moment that you stop freaking out and just relax into it, and just stay true to who your voice is. You know, I am never going to be the inner world guy. It's just not me. It's not my vocal tonality. And once I stopped pretending to fit into something and just sort of just did my own thing, that's when stuff started to roll in. And I was like, gee, absolutely. You know, And especially because voices are so individual, you know, there's nothing out there that sounds like me. There's nothing out there that sounds like you, you know. Exactly. So when you actually sit back and be like, hey, I'm kind of unique and can bring my own stuff to the table. Let's see what people pick up on. That's when things really start to roll in.
Yeah. And for me, one of the greatest things, one of the greatest things has been able to, I'm not patting myself in the back, is to help people out. Because as I said, I was helped so much by people like Dan and other sort of people that put up videos and tutorials on YouTube. Jonathan, I remember seeing your tutorials on setting up a home studio. And I thought, here are these guys that are really out there to help people. So I just took it upon me to, whenever anybody came up to me and said, oh, I hear you're in voiceovers. How do you do it? I'm like, well, come home and I'll show you. And this is the setup and this is a mic. And, you know, I've got a spare sound card. You know, why don't you use it? And they freak out and they think, and the more you tell them about vocal technique and mic technique, the more you learn and the better you get and the more reassured you feel about what you're doing. And people freak out. They think, why is this guy helping me? You know, there must be a sort of, you know, something hidden there that, but it's a wonderful thing to be able to just learn who you are. And you discover that sometimes by coaching or teaching or helping people come along.
Yeah, I think that's wonderful. Wonderfully said, Ramesh. And I totally concur. I've mentored a lot of people to set up their voiceover businesses. And I think that generosity of spirit really is characteristic of a lot of people in the industry. I mean, most voice artists that I've met are just really lovely people. Yeah. And I think when we get into that mindset that says, oh, I've got to protect myself, or it's so competitive out there, or there's not enough work, it's like we shut ourselves down. And really, come on, there is so much work out there. It's, as you've said, finding your niche, being authentic, and, you know, playing in that spirit of supporting one another as a community so that we can do our best work and get better and better.
Yeah.
One of the things that's really difficult is I think we all have this voice in our head that we want to be like. And so we work maybe too hard to be something we aren't. And one of the things that I've been so grateful for, and I was hoping I would have a chance to mention, is I belong to, because I can't, get involved in some of the London meetups because it's a long way away and it's a bit pricey. I'm a part of a Google Plus Hangout, and that has been such a helpful haven, if you will, because we can share resources and tips and stories and really feed one another with all the positivity we can on the journey, you know what I mean, and help each other see think a little differently. And it's been a wonderful, wonderful thing. And again, Susanna, this generosity of spirit is just a big wow. I have seen it here, there, and everywhere around the world. And it's not only feel good, but it is helpful because it does, it is fuel for each one of us.
Absolutely. Yeah. Somebody else, another thought there?
One of the things, techniques that,
Susanna, you have the floor.
Okay. I don't know if anybody knows, have any of you guys come across tapping, EFT? Do you know what I'm talking about when I say meridian tapping?
Yes. Yeah.
So it's a way of flipping our negative beliefs into and creating new neural pathways that create new possibilities for us. So we might say something like, yeah, it's so competitive out there. There's no work. I can't make it. I can't sound the way I want to say. And you just express all of this stuff. And then you clear it energetically. And then you start to install some new beliefs. So you would say, I'm open to the possibility that the way my voice is perfect, and that I can really shine, create a new niche. And, you know, it feels so good to be doing this and blah, blah, blah. One of the things I love about what we do is that for myself, because I have so much time freedom, I mean, I am a full-time voice artist, I would say, but full-time means I probably record, I don't know, 2 or 3 hours a day or something. And then I have a lot of time left to do other things. And one of the things that I've been able to do is to, I've always been passionate about personal development. And so I've built a website to share some of the tools for personal development that I love to use, just as a kind of an offering, really. So my voice business has sponsored that, or it's sponsored. I wrote a children's book last year. So it's like, we are lucky. We're so lucky.
Boy, Susanna, that sounds good to me. I'm going to be tapping all day long.
You check out my it's called The Heart Pod, and it shows you exactly how to do it. Theheartpod.com. It's just, there's lots of free audios and videos and stuff. I did it after the earthquakes we had about 4 years ago here in Christchurch, because people were in such bad shape and so traumatized. And this technique is really valuable for clearing trauma and stress and stuff.
Yeah. Susanna, I was there actually during the
No way.
Yeah.
What are you doing here?
It was in January before the church, the cathedral completely fell down.
Yes.
It was between the two earthquakes.
Yeah. Oh, so you missed the really nasty one that killed like 100
people. Yeah, that was big time. So I completely, my heart just opens to, I know exactly what was going on around that time, and I actually felt some after tremors, and it was horrible.
Yeah,
it was like 7, the work that you're doing is amazing. Yeah.
7,000 or more aftershocks. It was insane for like a year or two afterwards. And even like I'd be in the booth and the booth would shake and I'd be recording like an earthquake sound. Well, George, you know about earthquakes. You live in the land of earthquakes too. But
I've never
fun.
Experienced anything like what you guys went through.
Yeah, really.
Were you there for Northridge, George?
No. Yeah, I'm lucky to have missed that.
Everybody tells us about Northridge, but... hopefully we won't get the chance to experience that in California either.
Yeah, no, it's over. Done.
Yeah, well, this is...
no more earthquakes.
Yay!
I'm going to start double tapping and see
if... Actually, you know something else? It's an amazing technique for voice artists, because I was doing a jingle once and I couldn't hit a note. I was flat every single time I was singing it. And we must have done, I don't know, a dozen takes. And so I just said to the engineer, I said, Toby, just a second. Give me a second. Let me try something. And I did my tap. He was like, cannot hit that note. I can't do it. Oh, my God. I'm so embarrassed, blah, blah, blah. Sure enough, next take, boom. So I encourage you to put it in your back pocket, because it's really useful.
I'll throw it in there. What's that web address again, Susanna?
My website's
theheartpod.com.
But if you just put in like EFT or tapping on YouTube, you'll get hundreds of ones to take you through, you know, every single possible human issue.
All right. Well, we'll throw that in the show notes too. This is absolutely amazing that we have people from so far apart, yet we all have this amazing stuff in common. And the fact that we can just do it right on the internet and broadcast it out is just... This is absolutely thrilling, and I'm glad.
Dan, if I may just say something,
I think
there's an inherent feeling that is shared amongst definitely the people in this panel today, and most voiceovers, successful and aspiring voiceovers, is this tremendous feeling of gratitude. It's very hard to be living in a country like Spain, which is mired in a horrible economic crisis. Where, you know, people are making, you know, 10 euros an hour teaching, you know, and you tell people, you know, you don't want to tell people, I just made 200 euros for, you know, 20 minute thing, you know, and you make this money. And I feel that there's this inherent sort of desire to help people. And I think maybe because we speak and we voice and we're in tune with our inner personas or whatever, getting on a metaphysical level, that it feels great to be able to help people and to, share whatever, I mean, our great fortune, because we earn very, very good money for what we do, because basically we sell our voice. I mean, we don't, you know, sitting around in your pajamas at home with your flip-flops on and talk, and people pay you for talking. I mean, is there a better profession, job that you can think of? I can't. And the amount of money you make, but just, you know, blah, 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 blah. So it's great when you're able to help people. And, no, that's just something I wanted to share with you guys.
No,
I don't know
no.
if it has anything to do with it.
Makes total sense. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break here. And if anybody in our amazing studio audience, the big studio, the big picture studio, anybody in the chat room has a question for any one of our guests or wants to throw something to the panel, please feel free to throw it into the chat room. And who's ever monitoring the chat room, which I believe is still George right now. It's George. We'll get it on and we will ask that of our guests. But right now we're going to take a quick break and George gets to do a live spot talking about VoiceOver Atlanta.
Yes, yes. I wanted to do this one because I'll be there. So I just thought it was extra special to me since I'm making the trip for this one. And well, they're doing a few things. So anyway, it's coming up this week, right? So chances are, if you haven't planned on going, you may not be going. But if you're in the Atlanta area, the South, the East, consider it at least for one day, because there's a special, couple of special one-day events and a few very special elements. So you can find all this information out at voatlanta.me, voatlanta.me. There's things like live agency auditions. VO Atlanta has added live agency auditions to the conference agenda. That means there is a chance to audition in front of a number of voiceover agencies in hopes of getting representation. It's just one of the many benefits of attending the conference. But then there's some special days like the Youth Day Kids for 7 to 16. They've prepared a special day just for them. They have their own presenters and program. It's a whole day of learning engagement. It's all about engagement. That's the theme this year. And it's all about learning with them and having front row seats for a special presentation at the end of the evening. Look under special events for more details on that over at voatlanta.me. And then there's the Spanish Day program, which I think it's pretty unique. It features exciting speakers from around the globe with sessions being presented in Spanish to help you build or start your voiceover career. Look under special events over at voatlanta.me. And I'm going to fly through this name of, Dan, will you help me read this list? I thought it'd be fun if we went back and forth, alternating names, rapid fire. All right, I'm going to turn on your mic. Here we go.
Okay.
We're going to have Andrea Romano.
Pat Fraley.
Joe Cipriano.
James Arnold Taylor.
Randy Thomas.
Stacy J. Aswad.
Chuck Duran.
Ann Ganguza.
Jody Gottlieb.
Johnny Heller.
Abby Combs.
Holmes. Doug Turkel.
Denise Woods.
Roy Oakleson.
Cliff Zellman.
Simone Fogile.
And Emma Rodero.
Rene Figueroa.
Javier Hui. I think that's how you say it.
Javier Hui.
They're all those four names are the Spanish speaking folks, by the way. David Goldberg.
Zurek.
Memo Sode Soseda.
Everett Oliver.
Sunday Muse.
Jennifer Smith.
Ron Minitrea.
Juliana and Lance.
Kristen Cabali. Cobley.
Cobley, yes. And some guy named George Whiteham.
See, now we're getting a chance to see what it's like to be a live announcer. Oh, my God. But those guys, they spent 4 days rehearsing. We didn't.
Yes.
Anyway, that's it. VoiceOver Atlanta. VOAtlanta.me, March 12th to the 15th. I'll be there. I hope to see some of you. I know I'm going to see a lot of you who are watching this today there. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Sorry I'm going to miss it. Sounds like it's going to be a great time.
Should be good.
All righty. Well, we're back with our marvelous guest here. Again, if anybody has a question for the panel, that's something that perhaps we haven't covered, although these guys are a wonderful resource for all of us here. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, you mentioned a little bit about your, you know, maybe some of your technical setups, but well, how are each of you set up? You know, Susanna, you were telling us about your five-sided booth. What equipment is everybody using? Give us a little bit about your studio. Start with Susanna.
Yeah. So let's see. I started actually several years back in a closet, and it was when people see it now, they laugh because at the time it was a closet that was just big enough for me to stand in and it didn't have any shelves. Today it has shelves in it and lots of stuff, but I'd squeeze into the closet and have my microphone here and, you know, the copy was right in front of my nose. And one day my partner decided that just was not cutting it for me. And he built me the most extraordinary, beautiful voice booth that I just love. That's lined with black acoustic material, thick enough to satisfy George's keen ears for echo control. And I do use a Neumann mic. What else? I actually keep my equipment outside, and I know that's different from a lot of people. Like my recording, my computer and everything is outside of my booth. And so when I have clients call in to direct the session and they're on Skype, then I've got my headphones on in the booth and I run out and I adjust the computer and run back in. And I know George would say, oh, there's a very easy way to do that. Like use your iPhone as a remote or something to blah, blah, blah. But anyway, that's how I do it. It was. I also installed, which was really helpful, a ventilation system in it, a very complex ventilation system with this sort of snaking tube where there's a fan that goes in and a fan that goes out, and George is nodding. And that made a huge difference, especially in the summertime, because I was getting a bit oxygen deprived. The booth isn't huge. Like if I reach my arms out, I can almost touch the walls on the sides. So it's probably, I don't know, just about a meter or so in each direction. But I love it. I love that little space. It works great for me.
Yeah. Jonathan, we got to unmute Jonathan there.
Yeah, I just unmuted. I was on mute because my dog was you know, yawning and making some noises. So my booth story, I had a buddy of mine is a audio engineer, and we had a long discussion when I was making the choice to go from, you know, just being a studio talent to actually having my own home studio. And he said, you know, pay once and pay right, or, you know, go cheap and pay twice. So I said, okay, I'm going to save up and invest, and building my studio that I have now took some time, but I'm so pleased that I invested over the long haul for something that's going to last me forever. So my first mic was a Neumann TLM 103. And then I moved on to getting an interface. And back then I was Pro Tools, just doing Pro Tools. And being a Mac user, that wasn't always a happy marriage. So there was a lot of discussion back then about Twisted Wave and being over in Germany where everybody uses Pro Tools, but, and has a love-hate relationship with it. I was very reluctant to change over to Twisted Wave, but when I did, I was like, this is luxury. This is so easy.
It's like lifting a yoke off your shoulders.
Yeah, I was just like, why was I so reluctant, you know? So I'm a big Twisted Wave user, which I never thought that it would be so easy. And the booth that I have is a Studio One, Studio Brick Studio One. And to answer your question about how, Susanna, about, you know, how to do the back and forth, I have a monitor screwed into the wall where I have everything, and then the cable goes out, and that's where the actual computer is. So the whirring of the computer when it gets heated, just like in the summer, you don't hear because it's outside of the booth.
It's over there.
Luckily. So I found my own ways to sort of trick it out that the sound is actually contained inside the booth.
Do you do paperless? Do you do everything with your monitor, all of your copy you read from there? Yeah.
Yeah, I do everything paperless. And I used to be a really big fan of having the paper because I really like to get the feel of it. Yeah. But it just got to a point where I was, you know, running out of paper cartridges, printer cartridges for every 2 weeks. And I was just like, come on, just install the monitor and then we're good, you know.
And so can you mark up your copy on your monitor? Can you use
GM? Oh, yeah. I just open it on, I'm a Mac user, so I open it on Pages, or if it's a Windows person, then it would be a Word document. And I just edit it from there on the keyboard.
Yeah. Jonathan Taylor gave us a great tip on that one. If you're using a screen, because I use a screen in my booth as well, put a plastic sheet over it and use dry erase marks on it.
I know.
And then it was like, hey, mark your copy that way.
What a clever low-tech solution.
Yeah. Oh, it's always the low-tech stuff.
I love it.
Deb, what are you using?
Well, I'd like to go on record right now as saying that I'm insanely envious of both JT and Susanna. Okay, that's over. but I didn't have to come out of the closet, but I did have to come out of the bedroom. So I went from a bedroom to a designated studio storage room that's much better. It's in the back of the flat that we live in. And my DAW consists of a Rode NT1A mic. My audio interface is my precious Focusrite Scarlett 2i2, which I swear everyone everywhere raves about, including GW. He's always, that's usually. You always have wonderfully positive things to say about the Focusrite. I use a PC, a touchscreen PC, and WavePad for my sound editor. And it's most on a par with Twisted Wave. And it's really conducive. I've tried so many of them, and it's really quite conducive to the way I work. So that's me done. Now, do I wish I was surrounded by Oralex? Yes, I dream about it. But my mic is also set inside an Essentials vocal booth. So that's as close as I've gotten to a studio brick so far. But stay tuned. Stay tuned. Let's be done.
All right. Ramesh, what are you using there?
Well, pretty simple, actually. Keep it simple. So my studio is actually an extension of my bedroom, and I'm lucky to have a space about a meter either way. And very, very sort of rudimentary stuff, really. Blankets, a bit of acoustic foam. And I mean, I don't know. It looks pretty basic stuff to me, but you know, I've had production studios tell me you've got great sound. And I believe you, Mr. Leonard, as well, tell me once the sound was quite good. So I trust it is. It could be better, I'm sure, if I took the time to invest in revamping certain things about it. And my signal chain is also quite straightforward. It's a little my Neumann TLM-103 puppy, my beloved mic, connected to my Focusrite Sapphire 6 USB, which is then connected to my MacBook Pro. And I'm happy as a puppy. It's fantastic. It works so well. I thought I had a MacBook Air before, and I thought the Pro would make as much noise as the Air, so I had it miles away. But it's sitting right next to me, and I've never heard the damn thing whir. I don't even know if it has a ventilator. It's so quiet, and it's great. And I'm really lucky because I think I've got a good room noise.
Yeah, I mean, Mac computers are quiet, and then unless they need to be loud. And then if they have to cool down because you're working the crap out of them like I do every single week during the show, my Mac Mini's fans are going berserk. Really? It does when it has to, but otherwise, if you're not working it overworking it, it's very quiet.
Well, George, I have my MacBook. It's an 8 gig, relatively new one, but I've never heard the fan come on. And in the times in which I do 200-400 megabyte things on my software, and I use the Adobe Audition CS6 as well. So I've never heard it come on.
That's good. Just don't use Google Chrome with 20 tabs. You'll be fine.
Yeah. If I could just chime in, I actually have a lot of PC noise with my Packard Bell touchscreen, which was terribly annoying. And in the new studio, I finally got the microphone away from the PC. So I'm really, really pleased about that. And I could completely identify with what Susanna had to offer in terms of having to go back and forth, but I've got that worked out now. So, yeah, anything to get away from the fan noise.
Yeah, I mean, you can have the loudest computer in the world as long as it's not in the same room as the mic. It's fine. You know, in the days of yore of big commercial studios, they had a machine room where all that noisy stuff was located because they just
sliding door.
Yeah, with a big sliding door and everything. You know, many of us.
How do people get around, Jonathan, you mentioned using Twisted Wave. How do people get around when you have to sync your audio to a video? Technically. I sit there with a video playing, say it's a commercial, on my iPad, watching the person who may be speaking Dutch or whatever, trying to match her voice with, at the same time, reading the copy. Like, I'd love to know. Maybe this is something that comes up all the time, Dan.
This is what a stopwatch is for.
I got one of those too, but sometimes.
I do exactly the same thing. You use your iPad, I use my iPhone. So if they send me a video and it needs to be timed to the audio needs to be timed to the video. So I'll record the video onto the audio of my iPhone on iAudition. And then I'll play it back. I'll put these actually in my ears and then put the headphones on top. Really ghetto and like do the recording that way.
Actually an Audition CS6 and the cloud version, and actually in 5, you can upload a video file in there and it will take the audio track off of there, and you can just simply edit in multi-track going
exactly
a little bit way this good. Way because that's what that program was designed for. It's it's one of the reasons I really like Audition, because unlike Pro Tools and some of the other ones, it was designed specifically as a narration platform for syncing audio to video. which is primarily what we do. And it's second to none for doing that. So
yeah, it's a great comp. I mean, if you've been using Twisted Wave and you feel like you're having to kludge things, that might be a nice time to start demoing Audition. You can download a free 30-day of Audition and try it and see if it helps your workflow. Because at the end of the day, it just depends on how often you do it, how inconvenient it is. And then you start to decide, maybe it's time to learn a new tool to save me some time and save some frustration. Because, there's a lot of us that will never redo picture and never need it. It's everybody has some unique situations. Sounds like the two of you are doing that a lot.
Yep. Yeah. Well, it's all of what we do is problem solving, and it's how you work your way around these things, because we're all alone, which sort of brings me to a question. Howard Ellison, also in England or Great Britain or the UK, we never know what to call it. Instead, this oil, this fortress, whatever it's called. He was talking about, he had a question, and I think he was aiming it towards you, George, but I think it will actually work with this group because you're also isolated. Do you get a chance to work with other voice actors? Do you get to be in the studio with somebody else or doing a remote with another voice actor where you get the chance to do a little bit of interaction, which is possibly the most fun you can have in this business? Anybody?
Let me just say one interesting thing. The only time I've had somebody actually, another voiceover in about a meter's proximity to me was I get this call from this Dutch agency saying, oh, one of our Dutch managers' voiceover talents is actually on holiday in Tenerife. And I noticed you have Source Connect. Can you come and do a recording in your studio? And I thought, okay, all right. It's actually my bedroom, but that's fine. So this guy turns up, this friendly Dutch fellow, in his shorts. And I think he just came up just for the hell of it to see, if there actually were voiceover artists in the Canary Islands. And he recorded his script on my microphone and everything. And it was interesting seeing him doing it, actually, because as you said, have you ever been in close proximity to other voiceovers? And it was basically 15 words for some Citroën car commercial. And he, said, okay, I'll have a couple of, versions of it and see how it goes. He must have recorded the same lines maybe, without exaggerating, 60 times. And all 60 takes were exactly the same. They were identical. And I was sitting there, sort of recording, and then I thought, okay, this one, he's going to say it slightly differently. They're not. And I thought, is this guy a voiceover artist? And exactly the same take, one after the other. Strange. But no, I don't mix around with many voiceover artists over here because everyone's so possessive with their toolkit,
Yeah, I'm surprised to hear that there's a voiceover community in the Canary Islands, but of course it's all for the local stations and stuff.
Yeah.
Interesting. Jonathan, you must be working with a lot of German voice actors and stuff.
Yeah, what's really funny is I do a lot of dubbing for the German industry. So usually if I'm going into a studio, they'll book me before or after the German guy comes in. So there's about I'm the American voice of three German guys over here. So it's either Moritz, who's a really good buddy of mine. He lives right down the street. Or there's Manuel, who is really cool. And then there's Helge. Now, I've never met Helge, but we do the most work together. So usually we miss each other by 5 minutes. And it's this running gag that we have over here. We've been working together for about 10 years and we've never met.
Wow.
So he leaves the studio as I'm coming in or whatever, but except so maybe it's our destiny that we never meet, but we just voice for each other. But with Manuel and with Moritz, since we live really close to each other, we see each other or we come into the studio a bit earlier and we discuss. So we have the opportunity to bounce off of each other and see how the other person works, which is great because it's the same text just in a different language. And usually the first person that goes in has to do most of the heavy lifting because by the time that the second person goes in, you already have the track in your head and you just have to read your line. So. There is a voiceover community over here. And there's the random off chance that you do get to work with the one that you're dubbing with. But that's more like a highlight instead of it being a thing that happens more often than not. So when it does happen, it's quite special and quite nice to be part of that creative process.
Let me address Howard's question, at least somewhat, if I can. I don't know if I'm an authority on this, but I guess he's trying to say, is there more animation being done from home? And I mean, there are more and more big studios that are closing in LA than there are opening, I think. So there's definitely a shift towards home. Does that mean there's more animation work that can be done from home? I think it depends on the production value, the network, the budget. But if it's anything that's going to show up on any network television shows here in the U.S., the majority of them, you have to go into the studios to record. But there are exceptions. I know John Taylor does stuff for PBS. He does character voices for a kid's show, and he does that from home. So there are things happening more and more. And I guess if there is a trend, it certainly is towards home studios. But Hollywood, I can tell you for a fact, they love doing things the old way. And it's sort of a thing, as people start retiring out, we start shifting to new technology, but we still have too many people that have been in the business for 30 to 40 years that want to do things the way they've been doing it for 40 years. I think once they start, you know, retiring out, that will change.
Yep.
George, would it be possible, do you think, to use an interface like Zoom, like we're chatting now, to actually do a recording for something like animation or an ADR session or something where you had multiple characters together?
Great yeah, question. I mean, Zoom is not equipped for it due to the fact that the audio it's capturing is certainly not pro quality. Yeah. But there's a couple tools on the you know, that are coming along this year that are going to be able to make that happen, like Source Connect now, for example. They'll eventually have a way to tie Source Connect now into Source Connect at the studio, and even have the client in another studio watching the whole session live, have everything be in sync, have each talent see the same picture, and be able to communicate and work together in a group with extremely low latency. It's coming. Man, is it close? I'd say this year we'll see that start to become a reality. And then it'll take 5 years for people to get really comfortable with it and start using it. But it's an eventuality. It's definitely going to happen.
I used Zoom for a session for a company in London last week, and it was like they just clicked on it and they were in, and it was great. But, you know, I'm recording on my end.
Right.
But I think the quality, you know, depending on who the client is and what you're doing it for, you know, certainly Zoom could probably do that. And, you know, the audio quality is going to get there. But also, but Source Connect is, you know, clearly going to be a far superior way to do that.
IPDTO, RIPDTL. And then in Germany, Jonathan, have you done anything with SessionLink Pro?
SessionLink Pro, never heard of it.
Yeah, it's a German company that came out with it in Dusseldorf, I think. And it's the German IPDTL. And I've heard of a few folks who work in German studios or with German clients who have said they have used it. We're going to talk about it we're going to have a Wovo chat on Wednesday, by the way, nice. Where Joe Cipriano and I tweet. It's actually, what do they call it? A Twitter chat. We're going to Twitter chat about IP audio and ISDN on Wednesday, I think at Pacific time. So the hashtag is Wovo chat.
Well, that's hashtag Wovo chat.
Hashtag right. Wovo chat. But yeah, we're going to talk about all this stuff. It's really fascinating. I mean, it's a whole show in itself.
Can't wait. But it's all typed out.
Yeah.
All right.
In 140 characters.
Yeah, or less. Yes. Devox asks, and we can throw this around everybody real quickly. How do you handle the tax and accounting issues, particularly for American clients, especially for American talent and IRS issues? Are you still paying American U.S. taxes, or are you paying taxes where you are for that sort of thing?
Oof.
I don't mind to answer that. So I am a dual British American citizen. So I file taxes here. I pay my taxes here in New Zealand on all the income that I earn worldwide. But although I have to file a U.S. income tax form, I don't have to pay taxes in America. I pay them here because I live here. This is where I'm resident. So it's a little bit more work than if you just do one country's, but it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
Anyone else is quiet on the tax front?
don't want to go there.
Actually, I would love to go there. I don't know if too many people know about this, and this is really a sensitive issue for a lot of people with taxes, with being an expat, an American expat, and doing your taxes. There's been a new law that's come out in 2014 called FACTA, which says it's basically to stop like money laundering and you know, different accounts of
offshore.
Like huge company offshore stuff. But for people like us that are, you know, solopreneurs living outside of the States, making money outside of the States, if you make a specific amount of money, over 75 grand a year, America can, through this FACTA law, America can make you do double taxation, even if you've made $0. So a lot of people in 2014 have been giving up their American passports and gaining the passport that they're in, the country that they're in. So the taxation laws for Americans living outside of America has dramatically shifted. At the moment, I do, to answer the actual question, I predominantly make, I would say 98% of the money that I make is in euro, or if it's a job that's outside of the EU, I'll say, please, if it's possible to be paid in euros, I'll give the conversion rate, just because it makes things easier. In Germany, you have to take care of your taxes in advance. So a 19% on top of the money that on top of your quote price, and that only works within Germany. But if I get a gig that's outside of Germany, I can only ask for the price that is without putting the tax on top of it. Then I have to tax that when it goes through here. There's all these different German taxes and everything, and it's really complicated. That's why my tax lady does that. If you know the rules and can stick within the rules and make sure that you follow the rules, then you're pretty set.
Yeah. Deb, you got anything on that, or you're just not paying your taxes?
Oh, no. We definitely are. Matter of fact, more perhaps than our fair share. We pay taxes in both countries.
Wow. To this
day. Don't ask me why. I cannot go there. It is a heavy hit. It is very real. But my husband does handle that, and I thank God he's willing to handle that. So that's the bold truth where our taxes are concerned.
Mm. Yeah. It's financial stuff is always fascinating. We got one last question here, because this is one that, you know, we actually deal with, you know, here in North America, because, you know, I deal with a lot of foreign companies in India and Germany, Spain, and a number of other places. And it's dealing with currency. How do you approach international customers, and do they have issues with payment in the currency that you're using right now?
PayPal.
PayPal. Well, that usually solves a lot of the problems and stuff like that.
Don't. If you live in Europe, you don't want the Americans saying, "Oh, we'll send you a check." You're like, "No, you won't. You won't send me a check."
Or if you do,
what about the W-9? No, forget the W-9. Sorry.
Or if you do get a check, when in Germany, if you get a check, it costs me like $50 just to cash the check.
Exactly. It's a nightmare. So I'm losing so much money.
6 months later, you're just like, it's a complete waste, you know? So exactly what you said, PayPal.
PayPal. Slap on another 6 to 7% on PayPal fees, and please just do a PayPal. And it's so straightforward. Yeah. Definitely charge them the 6% that PayPal creams off for their services. And, Bob's your uncle. I mean, that's really the easiest way. If you're within the euro, then it's all EBAN, which is sort of the euro sort of transfer system. And that's pretty straightforward. But PayPal makes so much sense all over the world, really. But they're getting very, very clear. You have to present them with all this money laundering sort of documents as to where your income is coming from. Because I got a call up saying, wait a second, there's too much money going into this PayPal account. What do you do? I'm a voiceover artist, you know, the people are paying me from all directions. So flags do come up when you get money coming in from, you know, all different parts of the world.
Right. I find that, you know, I can generally bill in American dollars, but I always do the conversion beforehand. So if someone's offering me like 60 euros or something, which is like almost nothing, it's like, well, that's 100 US. So I bill them for 100 US. And then some companies are like, well, we only pay in euros. Well, my my accounting software won't print out a pound sign or a euro sign. Right. It's like, well, figure out how to do it. It's like, geez, I hate when that happens. Yeah.
And the worst
I also,
is
I also deal it with wire transfers as well, because that's really the only way certain companies, especially in India, want to go. So I thank God for PayPal, but also wire transfers are viable.
From India? Ooh.
Oh, yeah. try doing it from Pakistan. Oh,
It is tricky. And remember, there are usually bank transfer fees involved. And I found out that the hard way. But some companies will not work any other way than through wire transfer. And I don't know what. It's an electronic paper trail. I'm sure they have to prove certain things. So, yeah.
It's just the way their system's set up. Why would they change?
Mm.
Yeah. Sometimes those systems take you longer. The accounting systems take longer than the voice job took. It's insane. Oh,
I know. It's horrible when that happens.
Yeah, the paperwork's always a, what's fun is getting a Western Union MoneyGram in Arabic. You take that to your local supermarket and they're like, it says how much it is. All right, we'll give it to you anyway. All right, well, folks, this has been fascinating. This is one of the best shows we've done this
week. Fantastic.
this is one of the best. This has been a great conversation. I'm glad we've had you all on. I'll let you go around the horn one more time here, and you can say your goodbyes.
Plugs.
And everyone is, and plug your stuff.
Plug.
We'll start with Debbie. Go ahead.
Oh, dear God.
No, you're not on the spot at all.
I don't have anything to plug except me. I'm available. No, but I've been so grateful to be on the show. It is such a fabulous forum. It is so helpful. Your contributions are just amazing. So thank you so much for having me on. I've loved being beside seasoned foes. I've learned a lot. I'm always learning so much from both of you. So thank you.
What's your web domain, Debbie?
Oh, I appreciate that. It's www.debbiebarnes.com.
That Got makes it easy.
And hit me up. No. Thank you.
You're quite welcome. Ramesh.
Well, apart from tremendous gratitude for you guys to organize this and having me on the show, really, I don't have any plugs to make. I mean, I don't take any job offers for less than 20,000 euros. So just, you know, keep that in mind if you want to hire me.
I mean, make a note of that.
Yeah, make a note of that. No, it's been great. And, you know, I do follow your show quite avidly, even though your time zone sort of flips me out. But it's been wonderful meeting all these lovely people, Jonathan, Susan, and Debbie, and of course, George and Dan. For the first time, I think we've had a similar experience. So thanks again. My webpage is my name, RameshMatani.com. And I'm always happy to have a chat, vocal chat, not a text chat or whatever, with anyone if I'm, you know, available. So I'd welcome and treasure the opportunity to talk to anyone for anything, you know, tips or help or suggestions or just to say hello. So thank you, guys.
Great. Jonathan, I know you got lots of stuff.
Yeah, I got a lot of things in the pipeline. But to make things more streamlined, first of all, thank you so much for having me on board. It's been an absolute pleasure meeting everybody and adding to this international flair of voice actors. And it's, I think, like we said before, the voiceover community is just so giving and grateful and helpful. And it's wonderful to see that on such an international level. So it's been great meeting everybody and being able to give back. So for my plugs, my voiceover website is jonathansvoice.com. And to learn all about the creative consulting that I do, where I help creative people transition into successful creative freelancers and entrepreneurs, you can go to jonathantilley.com to learn all about me, my writing, and all of my online courses to help creative people.
Outstanding. Susanna.
Yeah, very cool. Very cool to meet you all and to go out of the solo experience of working and to be able to share the in the booth thing of like having to look at your iPad or iPhone while you've got the other two sets of headphones and everything. It's just sweet to share the day-to-dayness of voiceover. My website, susannasvoice.com. And Yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you all for being with us today. This has been fabulous. All right. Well, we'll say goodbye to all of you. But George and I will be right back after this quick break, and we'll try and clean up all what's left this afternoon, because it is still this afternoon here. We'll be right back.
You're listening to East West Audio Body Shop.
VoiceOver Extra, the voiceover industry's online news, education, and resource center 24/7. Hundreds, probably thousands of free how-to articles for voiceover success, ranging from home studio to voice acting to business. A free voiceover industry directory, calendar of industry events, resource links, a store, and much more. Bi-monthly webinars on all topics of voiceover, free subscriptions to newsletters, reports, announcements, daily news, and features at voiceoverextra.com.
Hey, this is Roger Leopardi, and you're watching East West Audio Body Shop.
This is East West Audio Body Shop with Dan Leonard in the East and George Whittam in the West. Now, back to Dan and George.
Right. Yeah, we're back. All right. Well, we don't have a whole lot of announcements. Somebody was asking, what are we doing tonight? I'm watching TV with the missus. That's what I'm planning on doing.
I'm sleeping. No, actually, I'm going to shop for a car.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, it's about dang
time. Time. Yes. Oh, amazing thing still runs. It's got like a charcoal, you know, steam engine thing running in there.
When I back it up, I've backed it up down the street, and the transmission goes clunk, like really violently.
And I'm like, guess it's time. Yeah. I actually cracked the front of the Prius, hitting a snowbank.
Oh no!
Oh, it's like the snow is like concrete. You know, usually just drive right over it. Boom! It's like it's cracked. Now what? But it'll be finished. It'll be fixed in time for me to be in California.
Good, good, good.
Well, so I'll fit right in there.
We've got a few announcements.
Just sit back and relax. It's time for some announcements.
All righty. I have no idea who our guest is next week. We've been off for 2 weeks. So
yeah, well, I think we've got a bunch in the hopper. It's just I think this is one of the most epically busy Q1s I can remember. And I think we're just having a hard time locking people down, but we will definitely have somebody. Yeah, we will definitely have somebody. Catherine said we're waiting to get confirmation on our guests. So
okay, good.
Stay
It'll
tuned.
Be good, whoever it is.
Yeah, yeah. I already plugged it, but again, Wovo Chat on Wednesday. Hashtag that is Wovo Chat. We'll be on Twitter at noon Pacific time talking about ISDN and IP audio. It'll be me, Joe Cipriano, and anybody else who wants to talk about it. It's an open discussion. We do have some predetermined questions, thanks to Dave Cavassier is putting it all together. But that should be interesting. It's a topic that we can never stop talking about.
It goes really fast. I participated in one a couple of weeks ago, and it was fascinating.
Yeah.
Thanks to our donors of this week. Of course, Eric Aragoni, who we never see in the chat room, but he's always listening.
Even last week when we weren't here, he donated, I noticed.
It's amazing. The amazing Bill Lord, Manuel Naranjo, Jeffrey Scott Chambers, Michael Martin, Deborah Irwin, Martha Kahn, Amy Serenzi, Don Griffith, Diana Birdsall, Kent's World Studios, and Greg Tremblay Voiceovers, David Smith, and Patty Gibbons. Did she get in there twice? No.
Maybe.
Thanks, folks. If you want to donate to the show, there's a donate button right above George's head if you're watching on our website here. And it helps because we got to pay for the bandwidth. Today, lots of bandwidth because we got people all across the band. Absolutely amazing. Narrator.com.
Narrator Helper.
Narratorhelper.com.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's Amy Golan. That's my wife. She's proofing and editing and mastering audiobooks for you poor audiobook narrators. If you're doing that, especially if you're going to start your own first book for ACX,
you need help.
Do not do it by yourself. At the very least, hire a proofer to work on it with you. If you're going to do self-mastering and self-editing, fine, but hire a proofer. But anyway, Amy does all that, and she's really great to work with. I'm biased.
Yeah, you're just a tad biased.
I trained her, but she's great. Something else that popped up, International Women's Day. Or Woman's Day was, I think, yesterday. And some people that are involved, some people at Edge Studio, actually,
put together a website, and the address is weird. It's not N-O-T-T. Oh, it's not there. Not there. Dot no ceilings. Dot org. And it's all about women in professional life and busting through the ceilings and all that kind of thing. They've put together a really interesting presentation on there. So if you have time, go check out notthere.noceilings.org in celebration of International Women's Day, which I believe was yesterday.
Yesterday, yes. Show logs. Everything we talked about, the amazing Jack DeGolia is sitting there writing every single word and putting it in the show log. So everything that we've done here, if you want to find the information that we were talking about, just go there. It's right on this page. If you go up to the top of the page and click show logs,
right there,
you can find there and get the information you need. Listen to the podcast in case you want to listen to it in your car. This is probably a great one for a podcast, especially.
Yeah, I know we have a lot of podcast listeners in the UK. In fact, our second biggest market for the podcast is the UK, which is really awesome. And so if you like listening instead of watching, it's just a lot easier. You have a big commute. It's a great way to consume the show. And if you're a video person, you can watch it on youtube.com/ewabsshow.
Right. One word. And if you're watching us for the first time from some other point in the world, because you just found out about us, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at ewabs_show, and subscribe and like our videos, because that makes our lives happier. Well, this has been amazing.
Awesome.
You know, meeting some people who I've wanted to meet and people who I haven't talked to in a long time. So it's fabulous. And I want to thank our guests, Debbie Barnes, Ramesh Mitani, Jonathan Tilley, and Susanna Kenton joining us from all over the freaking place. We have to thank our wives, especially this week, for putting up with us in the afternoon. Kathy Curtin, our wonderful producer, for putting this together today. Anthony Gettig for usually helping out in the chat room. Jack DeGolia for putting it together and getting those show notes out. Tim McKean and Lee Penny for some of the video work they do for us. And, of course, our sponsors, who are, of course, Harlan Hogan at VoiceOver Essentials, VoiceOver Extra, Edge Studio, and VoiceOver Atlanta, providing uninterrupted live stream and bandwidth, which was so important today. And that's going to do it for us this week. Thanks again to all our guests, and thanks for watching tonight. I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George Whittam in the West.
And together we are East-West Audio Body Shop. Have a great week. We'll see you next Monday night. Take care.
Good night, everybody.